Matt McCorkle, co-founder of the company. I was actually an actor for 20 years, and I was able to make a living at acting. Actually, Pat McCorkle cast me in a lot of productions. She did, and then she cast me as her husband. We've been married 25 years. Thank you, yes. It's working out well. What's that? It's a good role. It's a non-equity role, but there are a lot of benefits.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast, insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Hey there. Thank you for joining us on Casting Actors Cast. Today is something very near and dear to my heart, and I think it's extremely important for actors to get the right information about this particular subject. It seems incredible that with the advancing technology that we're seeing, we're also seeing that technology used in auditions in the form of video submissions. Now, for a while, we've gotten video submissions for film and television projects, but increasingly, we are seeing video submissions for theater projects as well. And I would venture to say that, in the past 6 months or so, we've actually gotten video submissions that have booked jobs based on the submissions that they've sent. And I happen to believe that this is going to be a trend we're seeing in the industry. I think it's going to grow and grow. And what's important to understand is that great self-taped auditions are just like taking a headshot. The downside is casting directors don't get to see how or you respond to taking a note on video as they do in a live audition. The casting directors do get a good sense of the sound and the movement, and the type of recording can really make a big difference on the submission. So for the next two episodes, we're going to be talking very, very specifically about how to self-submit. Now, I've done a lot of workshops in this, and I'm always surprised because actors always tell me how they think it's probably the best kind of workshop to have. And when they take the workshop, they're also excited about it because they have this newfound information. But to be frank, a lot of actors think they know how to do it already. They think, okay, just, you know, the partner will hold the camera, which is my cell phone, and then they're going to shoot me doing the scene. And the other person behind the camera is going to be reading the other sides so that I will just simply send this file to the casting director and fingers crossed, maybe I'll get a job. I think you would really be astounded and amazed at the submissions we're getting from actors. Some of them are exceptional, really well done. The production is so good that we end up staying focused and paying much more attention to the actor's audition, which is, of course, the most important thing that can happen. On the negative side, we've seen submissions where somebody didn't take much time or effort. They assumed that we would accept whatever you sent to us and that we can see through the production values in order to make an evaluation about your talent. While that may be true sometimes, oftentimes it's such a distraction. The way you shoot it is so poor that it leads us to believe that your audition might not really be worth viewing. So here we go. You might want to take some notes or you might want to keep this podcast handy to listen to it a couple of times because I'm going to go rather quickly through a lot of these things. And hopefully if you hear of me doing a workshop sometime in the New York City area or out and about, I do travel quite a bit as well, then hopefully you'll consider getting some personal feedback as we continue to work on our skills. Now, as with any audition, what's really important is that you need to do your homework. You need to prepare. So that means you get your audition piece. Now, sometimes you'll get that through something we email to you. For example, we want to see you do this particular scene, or your agent would send you this information, or you would get the sides on Sides Express. If you have enough time, Notice I said that if you have enough time that you work on the scene with the scene partner. Because the focus of your work has to be on your acting. Just like any preparation you would do for any audition, you need to spend as much time, if not more, and I'll explain that in a second. You need to spend more time because the way that the technology works oftentimes serves as a real distraction, and it becomes very difficult sometimes to concentrate on the work when you're trying to shoot a video simultaneously. In other words, you're the actor, you're the director, and you're the producer, all trying to make this happen in a very short period of time. And I can tell you that the turnaround time is getting shorter and shorter. You know, if you have an agent and you've already done some submissions, I wouldn't be surprised if your agent said, you know, I just can't send this. This isn't good. You need to know, learn how to do this. And because the technology seems to be an afterthought, it ends up not being very helpful to either you or the agent. So let's go over a couple of things. In this particular episode, we're going to just go through a handful of areas that must be thought of and must be considered. And then we're going to move on to more technical stuff as well later. So the first thing we need to talk about is the recording equipment. What are you shooting this on? And if you have a recent phone, an iPhone or an Android phone within the last couple of years, then the camera quality is quite good on those phones. And so already you're set. So having that is the sort of the first thing on your checklist that you have. And that's awesome. That's great. By the way, just as a side note, make sure you shoot horizontal format, not vertical format. You know what I'm saying. Hold it long ways. That's just crazy. We'll talk about framing the shot a little bit more in a second. If I didn't mention it just now, I'd probably lose that train of thought. So now you have your cell phone or your iPhone, and now you take a look at how you're going to have it held. And what I mean by that is it's really a mistake to have your partner holding your phone and they're holding the sides at the same time for a lot of reasons. But as it relates to the camera, there's just way, way, way too much movement in the camera. So you really are going to need to invest in a small tripod or a stand. And I actually had, it was the coolest thing. I got it in Italy. And that was a selfie stick that had a tripod base on it so that you could put it on the ground and it would go maybe 5 feet into the air with a gripping device on top that held the camera perfectly level and perfectly straight. And it cost me like 10 euros. So I really encourage you to have a method by which the camera is held. Now, if you don't have a partner, this becomes really important because you'll have to end up spending a little more time running to the camera, recording the pushing the record button, running back into your place, and then recording your scene, and then running back to the camera. I mean, it just gets exhausting after a while, and you don't need to have to do that. But if you have a stand for it, something that's going to hold it, a small tripod or some other device, you know, you can imagine some of the various ways people try and get around this. That's a really good, important piece of equipment, is having that kind of a tripod. So that's how you hold the camera. Put it in a tripod. The next thing is framing the shot. Where do you stand in the shot? So as you look at a background, to know that the background has got to be free of clutter, debris, your cat, pictures. The background needs to be as plain and as visually empty as it can possibly be. Now, if you're in an apartment or in your very challenging area, then for goodness sakes, put up a sheet. Make sure it's not a sheet you've slept in recently, please. But putting up a sheet, a colorful sheet even at that, what I mean by that is a dark color, a navy blue or a brownish color or a green color. Those are all very attractive for the camera to pick up. And where you set yourself is you want to set yourself halfway between where the backdrop is and where the camera is. You see, the issue is many actors will stand so close to the back wall that it looks bizarre because bizarre shadows are being cast on the back. So you don't want that to happen. And you want the camera lens to stay focused on you. And if you stand in the middle of the room, then that focus will be on you and less focus on the back wall. So now a clear back wall, the camera is placed up, and you are in that nice landscape shot. The next thing that you have to consider doing is putting yourself slightly off center. Kind of weird this, but it's an amazing thing that when actors put themselves dead center, there's actually been studies that show that we as the viewer are less inclined to stay focused and attentive if you are square in the center of the shot. And that's true. If you slightly move yourself off center so that the center line is right through your shoulder blade, just that much. You don't want to go totally stage left or stage right. You want to just that center line right down. It's slightly off center. You're going to have a wonderful shot just because of the asymmetrical nature of the way it's set up, and you'll get a lot more attention that way. So that's a nice little trick, I think, as well. So that's the camera and that's the setup shot. Now, if you're doing a theater audition, you really want to consider making sure that the lens of the camera is focused all the way out. In other words, you don't want to use the zoom function at all. You want as many pixels in the camera to be utilized. That means you move the camera back and forth in order, especially for theater auditions, so that we get you from the waist up. The waist up is an ideal shot with just a little bit of headroom, just a little bit of space above your head, so that we really get a good sense of how you look. That's critical. Now, in a film or television submission, chest up, right in the middle of your collarbone, your chest bone rather, and then your head. So a nice head shot. Common mistakes I see in setting up shots, the actor's too close to the back wall, as I just mentioned. Also, they're looking too left or too right, so we're getting much more profile than we should. If you've got a reader, then put that reader just slightly to the left or right of where the camera is. And that means, of course, that the reader is not in the shot, but slightly behind the camera, left or right. And you'll be in really good shape. We'll really get a sense of how you look when you do it that way. So when you're doing a slate shot, and a slate shot is the shot prior to you doing the actual audition. Now, you can go ahead and do a live slate shot. In other words, you can say, hi, I'm the actor, and I'm doing the scene, and thanks for watching. Cut the video, and then you go to the scene. I kind of like live slates sometimes. I just think that there's a naturalistic kind of friendly quality that you're bringing to the table that we might not otherwise see. But then the other option is, of course, as we get more technical into the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about including your 8x10, your headshot, and then having that headshot kind of fade out as you are starting your scene and you fade into the scene. So those are some technical things that we'll have to sort of address. But the framing of the shot, you're either slightly left or slightly right. You're slightly off center with the camera shot, and then you're good to go. And then you don't have to worry about that anymore. So that's the camera shot. Now, the next thing, the sound. I think of all of the areas that I see the most mistakes in video submissions is the poor quality sound. And especially if you're doing a scene that you've been given a scene to do and the reader is standing slightly off to the right of the camera, I end up hearing the reader perfectly through the microphone in the camera, but I barely hear you because you're standing 3 or 4 feet away from the camera and you sound like you're in a bathroom somewhere, and that sound is just absolutely horrible. So here's the answer to that. And it's crazy small device. It's not a lot of money and it'll make such a huge difference. And that's called the lavalier microphone. And it comes with a 10-foot cord, lavalier. Boy, I'm not 100% sure how to spell it, but you can find it at bnhphotoandvideo.com. I'm sure if you Googled it, you'd find all kinds of places that sell it. Lavalier, L-A-V-A-L-E-E-R. Okay, so I tried to spell it. Anyway, this is a very, very tiny microphone that has a little clip on the end. You clip it on the lapel of your shirt or a sweater or a blouse, and then the other end plugs into the camera. Now make sure that the lavalier you get is proprietary to your device. An iPhone is slightly different configuration than an Android phone, so be forewarned. But then that cord goes in through the sweater down, and because you're only shooting yourself from the waist up, we don't see the cord. Even if we saw the little lavalier, that makes no difference to us evaluating you, taking a look at it. In fact, it looks more professional if I even see it. It looks like you've taken the time to make it look good. And then that plugs into your phone, so now it's a perfect setup for sound. You sound great. The proximity of the microphone to your voice means we get the warm, rich, nicer tones. And the reader is at a distance, which is exactly where the reader should be, because the focus is now much, much more on you in speaking. I think the biggest difference that people project when they do a video for film and television as opposed to a theater audition is, of course, a film and television audition is just simply brought down. The same intention, you're still acting, you're still doing the same work, but yet it's brought down because of the proximity of the camera being closer to your face. It's just simply a matter of doing less work. It doesn't have to be forced. You don't have to project. All you need to do is have the same intentions, make the same moments, take your time, give me some clear beats, and you'll be fine. Theater, on the other hand, because we're shooting from the waist up, this is a critical shift between the two mediums, between film and television and theater. And that is, you have to do a theater audition. Yes, it's being videoed, but we still need to see a theater audition. That means that you have a little more license to give me some freedom of movement. Not a lot, not excessive, but enough to give me your energy level, enough to show me the investment you're making into the character that you're playing. Vocally, we need you to be nice and bright and strong. If it's a quiet scene, then let it be a quiet scene, but let it be a quiet stage scene as opposed to a quiet film and television scene. You understand the difference, I hope. So it's a little more animated, but the acting values are there. You're still making the same points. You're still giving me the best quality work that you can. It just happens to be on video. And that's the best way to think of it, I think. So now we've talked about the sound. We've got a good camera set up. You've pulled that camera back so that we're getting the full view, and there's no zooming in on that. You've done the homework, you've done the scene, you've checked out the background, and now you're ready to go ahead and shoot this. Oh, wait, oh no. We forgot a couple of more things we need to talk about. The lighting. What you're wearing. How do you upload and submit your video? And those are the things we're going to be covering, in our next episode, because I just don't have the time. I would launch into this tirade and talk about the lighting, which is extremely important, but I just wouldn't really feel comfortable making this a much, much longer podcast. So I want to kind of nip it in the bud pretty close to here. So let's review. This is really useful information, I think. And if I were to put two actors, and I actually do this in the workshop, if I put two actors next to each other and they're doing the same exact scene. I actually have this. You would see one actor with their quality shot and the other actor with their video submission shot, and you would be amazed at the difference that one actor has over another just based on the technical things. Now, again, I want to reemphasize something. The technical things are there just to support your good acting. They are not there to show your good camera technique. So when you place the camera, for example, you want to have it at your chest level. You don't want to look down at it. You don't want to look up at it. You know now how to separate yourself between the background and where the camera is, and you're standing in the middle, so now you have a good framed shot. All of these contribute to you giving your best opportunity during your audition, rather than us having to work at finding out if you're right for the role that we're looking for. So, boy, there you have it. That was a fast 20 minutes, wasn't it? And we're going to be talking about lighting, and we're going to be talking about other really valuable tips and some techniques that you can really help you with your submissions. So thanks so much for listening to this one. Hopefully you're going to stay around for the next one. And I think you can tell by my excitement that this is going to be useful, especially if you use it. So, you know, if you work it, you will definitely work it, if you know what I mean. Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Dreisbach.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.